Now, Jules, where's Bo? Drew and Julianne Rathman, they just had a baby. And I mean, just had a baby. And this amazing woman is here. She's a doc. She probably delivered her own baby. It's just, gee, many crickets. But anyway, precious Bo back here. That's the new one there. So God bless you guys. Goodness gracious. The funniest, I wish we could get that pulled up. Is there any way? I should have had Ron do that ahead of time. Anyway, funniest picture I've seen. One of the funniest pictures I've ever seen with the birth of a newborn was literally just had the baby. And so we get this picture from Drew. And here Drew is with a hospital gown on, laying in bed, holding this baby. And Julianne, fully clothed and in her right mind, is leaning over him as though Drew was the one that had the baby. You know, I mean, just, they're an amazing couple, small group leaders here. And I think they actually had their small group together last night. And so God bless you guys. God bless that baby. And Lord, I want to pray for Bo right now. I just kind of feel impressed and just to say, God, would you save this little guy while his heart is still tender? God, I thank you, God, for the blessing of new life and what you have done for the Rathmans. And just the fact that even just a few months ago, we didn't even know Drew and Julianne and little Rory, and yet now you, in your providence, you have directed them all the way from Kansas to here to have this baby be born in this wonderful church family. And so, God, I thank you for your blessing. And I do pray for Bo. I pray for the rest of these children, as Michael has already prayed, that God, they will come to Christ. They'll choose to follow you. They'll hear you knocking at their heart's door, even as the Revelator described it in chapter 3 and verse 20 of Revelation, that you stand at our heart's door and you knock. And if anyone will hear you knocking, will open the door, you've promised to come in and to have fellowship, to build relationship with us, to change our lives. Oh God, we look around at the small group here this morning, but even the broader, the bigger group called Centerpoint, we know we're not what we ought to be. But God, we thank you that we are sure not what we used to be because of what Jesus has done, what you have done through causing his life to be birthed in us. And your Holy Spirit you've given as a down payment of our future inheritance, oh God. And so we give you thanks and ask for your blessing on our time together today, God. We'll be careful to say thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Wow, just amazing, these young couples. I'm still trying to get over, we have our son with us, I'm still trying to get over the birth of John. So... so glad John's here, and Riddell. Don't everybody get all of the shakes about this. You know, some of you walked in and said, "Where's the bulletin?" And so don't get bothered about all of that. We just did something different this morning, and we're kind of in the process of kind of rethinking some of the things that we distribute and hand out and things like that. I know we have some guests that are here, and so we really welcome you, and we're grateful that you're here, and hope that you'll hear from God today as well as the rest of us. Well, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
And welcome to 2017. It's kind of ready or not, here it comes, right? And what a year this will be if we decide to commit ourselves to moving forward together in faith. You know what the writer of Hebrews says? He says that without faith, you can't please God. Faith is making a connection. It's built, the Greek word is built on a little Sanskrit root that just means to make a connection, to unite life with. Probably the best picture of that, this side of heaven, honestly, is when two become one. You know, when we talk about marriage and those kinds of things. And unfortunately, when we look around and see the environment of marriage these days, we don't see that, do we? And so we're a bit muddled, a bit confused in what we how we understand faith to be. But to move forward in faith means that we're going to make a connection, a stronger, deeper connection this year than what we've ever made. And it will be a great year if we decide to move forward in faith. Not only is it impossible to please God without faith, the scripture says in a verse that you guys all know, I know, is that faith is the assurance of things hoped for. It's the conviction of the substance, the conviction, the real stuff of what life is, of what faith is, and things that are unseen. And to which I would say that thus far, as we have thought about moving forward with the Green Meadows property, it has been pretty much a thing hoped for and a thing unseen. But, ta-da, as of Tuesday, January the 3rd, at 9 o'clock in the morning, it will become officially our property. And I've good friends with the church that is meeting there now today. They're having their last service in that facility. I kind of feel like we ought to just pray for them right now. Ken, do you have any prayer music you could play? Why don't you, let's just kind of we're going to plan sometime here very soon to have a joint worship time where we're going to invite their folks to come here. And, we've kind of talked about next Sunday. I'm not sure that that's going to be able to get to be put together by then, perhaps. I'm kind of feeling sad for them this morning, so. And yet today's a new day. And I just believe that there's a remnant. I believe that there's a remnant there. And we want to honor them in this amazing gift. Who does that? Who gives a gift like that? Of 6.5 acres and a 11,000 square foot facility. That was begun and was dedicated for the sole purpose of advancing the kingdom. Who does that? Who gives? Who just gives it? God. God does that. And yet there's some real, I know that there's some real sadness there. I know that in Les and in his wife Susie. Les is the pastor there, and they're asking a lot of questions today about what now? What now? They've been a church, Julia, 30 plus years, since 1981. So they've been a church. A church has been meeting in that facility since that time. They started in a basement that's, I think the house of the basement there started in, I think actually is still there. It's around the corner there, kind of. And so today, I think, is even right now, could be a pretty tough day for them. So let's just kind of pray, okay? Just kind of pray. If there are any of you who just feel impressed to pray, you don't have to come up here. I'll come to you. But if there's anyone that just feels impressed to pray in any way, I just ask you, don't go on and on and on and kind of vain repetition kind of stuff. But if God is, we'll just wait. Let's just wait. If God is stirring, if you happen to sit there to think, okay, what do I want to pray? What do I want to, he's not stirring you. But if there's something that's there, then I'm going to just invite you just to raise your hand and I'll come back to you with the microphone. So let's just kind of wait before the Lord.
Father God, we just we lift up this remnant that is having their final day there, Lord. As Doug was sharing this, I was thinking of your people when they were released from Egypt. That while they were still there, they were excited. And as they got further away from the safety of the walls, fear started rising up in them. They didn't know what was going to happen. And some even thought that they had made a mistake and wanted to go back. But God, you kept them. You fed them. You led them. And you led them to where you had them to go. Lord God, these who have met in this building are not lost in the desert. Lord God, these people are on the way to the promised land, just as they have always been. Lord God, I'm not saying that we are the promised land, but we're going there too. God, I just hope that that maybe that there would be some that would join with us. You know, we've got manna. Come on over for dinner. And there are others in this community that are on the same journey. Lord God, nobody just gets tossed out into the desert on their own. Lord God, we're all on that journey together. Lord God, feed us and lead us.
Father, as you know, Barry and I were part of that first congregation. Lord, I've been meditating. You've had me looking at hyssop this morning. The little insignificant, beautiful but wild flower that was used to spread the blood over the doors and was used to put on a pole, put some sour wine on it, and lift it up to the Lord as he hung on the cross. Hyssop represents sacrifice. we're insignificant, Lord, in your plan, but you use us. And there are times that we have to die and start over again. Lord, you've taken me through many deaths in my life. But there's always resurrection. And there's always hope. And you're always with us. You give us a vision. Abraham was given a vision. But he walked through the land and built altars in so many different places. But he was worshiping you and knowing you were there. And the last sacrifice that he took up on Mount Moriah was Isaac. And he offered his son to you. And you said, no, I'm the provider. So no, even as you take this body over there, you're still the provider. So continue your work, Lord. Praise you, in Jesus' name.
Most assuredly, I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. Therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. Father, there is a dying and there is a birthing. And we look ahead and we look forward to the promise that all things are new and you are birthing something better and greater. The best wine was served at the end of the celebration, and a great day is coming when your people and your church, capital C, will glorify you and praise you.
I watch my own children come to know you at Cornerstone, to be baptized there and to grow in their faith. And Father, so it is sad to see it changing and losing members and coming to this point. But Father, in my heart, what I feel is hope. That a cornerstone was placed there that will now become a center point for others to come to know you. And Lord, for Les and Susie, for Candy and Dale, for Ted and Susan, for Jeanette, for Bob and Bonnie, Lord, for those who are left. Their hearts are sad, but Lord, I've talked to them and I know that they look forward to the time that the place will be full of children and laughter, that the rooms will ring with the truth of your word again. So Father, I agree that these ashes will be turned to beauty and to joy. We love you, Lord. We all love you. And we come together in your name.
Thank you, Father. Draw near to these you love today. Let them feel your presence, your nearness, your assurance that you love them. And Daniel wrote, he changes times and seasons. And Lord, give them knowledge of your hand. And in all of this. Lord, you make the way before us, and I pray that you would give them assurance of your love and that you are in all of this.
Teach us from your word. In Jesus' name. Amen. Why don't you have that one ready to go at the tail end, Kenny? Okay. Well, this is kind of how I started my day. I put on my glasses and I was looking around, where's my glasses? So I pulled out my other glasses. It's kind of happening, isn't it? Well, it's January, and I want us to together to carefully examine what I'm going to call God's purpose in our moving forward in faith. And to help us in our examination, I want to ask a couple questions. The first of those questions is, what on earth is God doing? Here's what Exodus, the writer of Exodus in chapter 1 and verse 7 says. But the sons of Israel were fruitful and increased greatly. You know, I've taken a highlighter and I have highlighted all the times when I find the words multiplied, increased greatly, exceedingly mighty, multiplied, mightier, more. There's a whole lot of those words that are used in chapter 1. But in verse 7, continuing, but the sons of Israel were fruitful and increased greatly and multiplied and became exceedingly mighty so that the land was filled and filled with them. I think that's God's simple plan, really, when you go back to the beginning of all time in the book of Genesis, it was just simply this, to be fruitful and multiply. Be fruitful and multiply. Check it out with me. Adam, Genesis 1 and verse 28, it says, God blessed them and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. And then if you flip on over to chapter 9 and verse 1, he says the same thing to Noah. Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth, he says. And then Abraham in Genesis 13 and verse 14, it just simply says, the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, now lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward and southward and eastward and westward. That's some multiplying, some being fruitful. Just stand and face all four directions and say, that's what I want. Those are the people that you want me to reach. And then if you follow it on over to chapter 17 and verse 2, I will establish my covenant between me and you with Abraham, and I will, there it is again, multiply you exceedingly. Actually, it's kind of an interesting word in Hebrew. It means literally to swarm. It's like bees, you know, swarm. It's kind of like when we were taking the viney stuff off of the house next door to us, this rental property that we have. It was like it was when Sally was up on the ladder. I don't get up on ladders. It was, the Lord did say, lo, I am with you always. So I figure that's for me. And so Sally's up on the ladder and pulling these vines off, and I was praising her for such a good job that she was doing, only to have disrupted a hornet's nest. And it was a swarm. So I understand what it means to multiply exceedingly. It means to swarm. And this is what God's first command, his first commission was to the children of Israel, was to be fruitful and multiply. And then Jacob, or as he is called, Israel, over in chapter 35 and verse 11, God also said to him, I am God Almighty, be fruitful and multiply. Which brings us to the Exodus. So much so that it says in verse 12 of chapter 1 of Exodus, but the more they afflicted them, the more, and you know the story, the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied, and the more they spread out, so that they were in dread of the sons of Israel. The word multiply there in Hebrew literally means to bring in. Rabbah. It means to bring in. But the word spread out, I found rather interestingly, means to break out or to break forth. By the time Israel, we find this over in chapter 12, I think it's of Exodus. Let me just see if I remember this correctly. 12 and 37, yes. Chapter 12 and verse 37, it says, and this is as they were leaving Egypt. Now the sons of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Succoth, about 600,000 men on foot, aside from children. You've heard the term foot soldiers. We have some folks here that have seen battle, and they have in World War II and beyond that, and foot soldiers. What does a foot soldier do? Some of our men that are here. What's a foot soldier do? Well, do all of our foot soldiers stay home? You're just too tired, aren't you? You put one foot in front of the other. You're moving forward, okay? Foot soldiers do that. They're moving forward. They're advancing. They're taking the hill. They're headed to the next conflict. They're foot soldiers. These are the ones that get the job done. And we're told that there were some 600,000 of them. Now, I read this rather interesting piece just last week or so. Where if there were 600,000 foot soldiers, and there were children and women, and then there were slaves to take care of the animals, the number that left has been estimated somewhere around 2 million people that made the exodus. In fact, the term exodus, it doesn't come, you know, typically like in Hebrew, certainly in the Pentateuch, in the second book of the Pentateuch, names for the books are not the names as they appear now. They usually receive their names based upon the very first three or four words of the very first, in the very first verse. However, when the Hebrew scriptures were translated into Greek, that which we know as the Septuagint, you will find the word for Exodus over in chapter 19 and verse 1. In the third month, this is just a freebie for you. In the third month, verse 1 says, after the sons of Israel, and here's the Greek word. It's literally, I'll say it for you, and you tell me what it sounds like. Exodus. Exodus, okay. All right, me smart me am. And so it's the word had gone out, and it's a verb, had gone out. And that's where the term or the name of the book that we call Exodus comes from Exodus chapter 19 and verse 1. In the third month after the sons of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on that very day they came into the wilderness of Sinai. So to multiply, to be fruitful and to multiply, this is the answer to the question that our first question this morning in trying to understand God's purpose. It is literally his purpose to bring people in and then to break them out. All right, let me try to... We'll just kind of dance around Genesis 1. I woke up this morning. People, you know, my mind's a little different in this respect. I know most of you would say amen to that. But I'm just saying that when I woke up this morning, my first thoughts were of I had the phrase, after their kind. What the heck is that? What was that all about? I mean, of all the things, good morning, honey, after their kind, you know? I mean, it wasn't, but I had this on and I could not go back to sleep. And so I thought, okay, God, what are you saying here? So I went back to the Genesis account and I discovered that what God was trying to say to me was exactly the answer to what are God's purposes. What is God doing? It's, you see, multiplying and being fruitful and multiplying is not, I hope I can get you to understand this. Being fruitful and multiplying has more to do than just quantity. It's not just about getting lots of people to come in. It's not about building great big buildings and saying, oh, how many did you run? You know, you get around a bunch of pastors and they talk weird. I don't like them. I don't like to be around them. Give me some good old lost people any day. I mean, I just, you know. So anyway, a lot of times say, well, how many, you know, how big's your building? How many did you run, Sunday? You know, how many did you run? You know, you mean how many people are coming to worship and all of that kind of thing? Well, I don't know. We got about this many. Sometimes have... Today we got about that many. I'm so glad the guests are here. Thank God for you guests that are here. But it's more than just about bringing people in. God's purposes are more than just about multiplying, about quantity. It has to do with quality or kind. After their kind. And when you read the creation account, you will find that, you know, after you get past all of the light and the dark being separated and the water and the land being separated and all that, then all of a sudden plants and creation begins. God begins to do this. I think I'll make that. And what a creative God we have. And I'll do this and I'll do that. And he says that they are to multiply after their kind. In other words, an oak tree produces little oak trees, okay? And you can't plant an apple tree and then say, you know what, I'm just thinking that my wife is going to make some peach cobbler and go out and expect to get peaches off of an apple tree. It doesn't work that way. They multiply after their own kind. And that goes on until you get to the creation of man. It doesn't say after his own kind. Rather, it says in Genesis 1, somewhere around verse 26, I can look it up. You can look it up. 20, it's the first book of the Bible. Somewhere around verse 26, 27, somewhere around in there, it says, God says, and let us make man in our image according to our kind, okay? So it's a little different deal there. And therefore, we are to be fruitful and multiply, not after our kind. It's not about getting more people. Are you with me? It's more than getting people into a building. It's about creating disciples. It's about having people come and say, you know what? I may not be what I ought to be, but I'm not what I used to be. Let me tell you about this one who has changed my life. After his kind. It's a whole different deal there. So when I ask the question, what on earth is God doing? The simple answer is to be fruitful and multiply. But that is not just talking about quantity. It's talking about quality. It's talking about kind. It's talking about what is really important. It's not counting nickels and noses. Would I rather see every chair full? Absolutely. Now, there's a card in every seat. We're going to mess with that here momentarily. So I don't want you to think that the clerks who care for our facility just forgot to pick up stuff, okay? I don't want you to even go there. They don't have that issue. But God's purpose from the beginning was always to bring people in to train them, teach them, and then to break them out. It's to send them out. That's why, you know, I love our Sunday morning times. I love our times together. I love our times of worship. Don't you love our times of worship? These songs that Ken led us in. I love our times of worship and the teaching time. I love all of that. I love seeing the children being prayed for and then being sent out, hopefully not to break out just yet, but I mean to be sent out into their classes and whatnot. But God's purpose is not just about all of what shows up on Sunday. It's what happens when we leave here. Out there is our mission field. So we bring them in, we train them, we teach them, we pray over them, we teach them all these things. And I'm going to answer the second question momentarily. But we do that in order to break them out. We bring them in, we break them out. It's really inherent in the Hebrew. You know what? That was God's purpose then, and it still is God's purpose. Here's what in a passage that you all know, you could probably quote it. Here's what the gospel according to Matthew says in chapter 28 and verses 19 and 20. Actually, let's back it up to verse 18. And Jesus came up and spoke to them all. Everybody say all. He spoke to them all, saying, all, say that with me, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore, and it's actually, it's not a command. It's actually a part, only one command here. It's actually a participle. It just says, as you're going, you know, it's normal to get up and to go. What's not normal is to not get up and to stay in bed. That's not normal. If that's happening to anybody that you know, and I do not want to be insensitive to those folks and to what's going on in their lives, but that's not normal. To stay in bed and to not want to get up and to go. Something is not right. They need God to do something in their life. Now, it feels good to kind of hang out in bed every now and then, but to stay there for about 6 months, that's not healthy. There's something not right there. So Jesus understood that we were going to be going. So he says, as you go, it's a participle, not a go ye, you know, get out of here, go. Evangelize, go get them. You know, it's not like that at all. It's like, hey, as you're going, as you're working, as you're, you know, shooting ducks in a Travis, shooting ducks in a in out of a duck blind or anything like that. It's as you go, therefore, make disciples. There's the command right there. That's the command. Make disciples of all, say that, all the nations, baptizing them all in the name, you're not with me, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them all to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you all, always, even to the end of the age. So you see, being fruitful and multiplying, bringing them in, training them, evangelizing them, discipling them, and then breaking them out, that's God's purpose. So what on earth is God doing? That's what he's doing. And that's what he wants to do through us. So that's really the second question. The second question is, so how on earth is God going to do it? Well, John chapter 1 and verse 1 and verse 14 says this, and you guys can quote it. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word literally is, yeah, he was God, and he is. And then it says in verse 14, it says that, and the Word became flesh, and he dwelt among us. And we beheld him, John says, as the one of a kind born son, only begotten. That's a fancy Bible word. One of a kind born son. That just means this. Never was one like him. Never will ever be another one like him. The one of a kind born son of God. He was the only begotten of the Father. And we beheld him. We saw him full of grace and full of truth. And so how is God going to accomplish his purpose in 2017 through the people called Center Point, as we together move forward in faith? How's God going to help us to spread out, as it were? I'm not really sure how many we've got. I know about how many chairs we have, so I'm going to ask you to do something that's probably going to make you feel very uncomfortable. I don't mean to do it like that. I've already filled my card out. I'm going to ask you to spread out in this room. Okay? And here's what I want you to, yeah, some of you are already doing this. Let's try it like this. I think we're going to need to go maybe this morning, I'm sorry to say, about every third chair. So let's just spread out and have like two chairs in between you and the next person. Let's do that right now. Come on. I know you're saying, oh, please, I don't want to do this. But humor me. Humor me. Okay? It's really okay. I'm going to ask you to come right back to be with your wife or whatever. So you're not going to be gone long. So just find, yeah, just spread out, all right? You'll find that there are pieces of white paper in every seat, okay? You've only got one seat in between you. Is that... What's the deal? Why don't you move up there? There you go. Now that's better. See, that's much better. Okay. You guys didn't do well in math either. What about all these people that are supposed to sit on these chairs up here? What about all the people that are supposed to sit on these chairs? Well, I can. We just really are low in numbers today, so I don't know. Anyway, so how? Here's the question for us in 2017. How are we, and those that are usually here, how are we going to fill that chair? How are we going to do that as the people called Center Point? How's that going to happen? We know what's supposed to happen. We're to be fruitful and multiply after his kind. To see his life come into people. How are we going to do that? And who am I talking about? Who's going to be sitting in these chairs? I don't know, maybe a friend? Maybe a family member? Maybe a work associate? Maybe someone that you share a hobby with and you just say, hey, you know, just in the normal course of conversation, the thing about God and church and all that stuff comes up. And you're going to be able to, perhaps, I hope, say, you know what? I don't know what kind of a church you've been a part of and all that jazz, but the group that I'm a part of is called Centerpoint, and we meet at such and such time. And would you come for the bagels and the donuts, if for nothing else? I mean, just whatever. If you'll just, and the, you know, my wife usually tells people when they ask her, they say, what kind of a church is Centerpoint? She says, well, the music is amazing and the preaching is, you know, it's a little, little iffy. She doesn't really say that. So I want you to, so the question is, how are we going to fill these chairs, okay? So take at least the card that you, at least one card, and take one other card with you, and then now you can go back to where you are, and I'm going to address that now. How we as Centerpoint's going to do this, we're going to do it in three ways, okay? In three ways. Yeah, you can go back to your, well, some of you don't even want to go back to, something's not right there. You know what? I do counseling, so we can, so, all right, yeah, you can go back. All right, that's cool. That's cool. And as I said, I've already written, I've got a name on my card, okay? And I'm going to ask you to do something with that card in a little bit, so you just kind of keep the card with you. So here's what I want to say. How's God going to help us to spread out of the people called Centerpoint? I just want to go back over. I do this usually every year about this time. I want to go back over our mission statement. We're going to do it first by being focused upon the Savior. We're going to be singularly focused on the Savior. We're not going to get involved in all this other stuff that gets out there, all of the peripheral there that may be very important. I'm not wanting to poo-poo, different kinds of theological exercises and experiences and things like that. But as for me and my house, let's be securely and singularly focused on Jesus. Jesus is the one whom we're following. It is by his name that we are called. We're called Christian. Christian. It is in his steps that we are following. I want us to be squarely focused on the Savior. What does that mean for you as you work, as you are involved in hobbies, as you go to ball games, as you, you know, whatever, as you are a neighbor, as you are in your home, as a father, mother, grandfather, whatever, or as a child? What does that mean for you? That means that when other kinds of things begin to come up, you try to get that conversation. I said, look, okay, I get it. I understand that you feel strongly about this, but let me tell you about what I feel strongly about. I feel strongly about Jesus and what he's done in my life. He is the one that has changed me. Oh, I'm not, and you know I use this all the time. I'm not what I ought to be. I know that. I get it. I know that the other day at the workplace that I said this, I should never have said that. I realize I did this. I should never have done that. I'm just telling you, I'm confessing before you, I'm not what I ought to be. But let me tell you something. I am for sure not what I used to be. Jesus has changed me. He's done something in me. If you would have known me then, you wouldn't have wanted anything to do with me. Now you kind of sort of want something to do with me. Why do you think that is? Do you think it's because I turned over a new leaf? Do you think it's because I kept a New Year's resolution? No, it's because Jesus has done something in my life. When the scripture says that he stands at our heart's door and he knocks. And that if we'll just hear him knock, somebody at the door? You guys stay up for New Year's, the thing last night? Did you stay up for all that time? Apparently some others did. anyway, we're just, you know, I'm officially an old person. I have a red, white, and blue Medicare card. There's about five others here that are just really old people too. And we just didn't make it to the Happy New Year, woo, and the hats and all that stuff. So we're, this is a fact when I tell you with my hand up. So we're laying there in bed, and we're hearing this popping noise. Sally says, what is that? there's pop. What is that popping noise? I thought, I don't know, somebody's breaking in the house or something. Then I realized, oh, yeah, Happy New Year, honey. They're shooting fireworks off somewhere, you know, in town. We live out in the country, you know, so when you hear popping noises, that's not a good thing always and stuff. So we're officially old and all of that. But this whole deal of New Year's and all of that, when we spend our time with people and whatever it is that they're wanting to get us involved in and talking about, we're going to make a big deal out of Jesus. He's the one that has changed our lives. We'll never be the same. It's not because we just turned over a New Year's resolution, you know, made a New Year's resolution or done these other things. If you do that, great. But I'm telling you, most of us don't keep those things. But you know what? When Jesus comes in, he doesn't leave. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He doesn't just show up for a visit. You know, I used to be one of the pastors in a rather large church, and we used to talk all the time about, oh God, come. We just praying, God, for a visit from you. Come and visit us, oh God. And I never will forget a prophetic word that was shared by our friend Bill Pinkethman, and some of us know Bill. He's heads up the men's ministry at the Crossing now. But Bill Pinkethman, never will forget this prophetic word. He said, you know what? It's not a day of God's visitation. God doesn't want to come and visit. He wants to come and inhabit. He doesn't just come and say, hey, I've come for a couple days. I'm standing at your heart's door. No, he says, I'm coming, and oh, by the way, I got my suitcase. Where's my room? I'm moving in. I'm not leaving. I've come to live in you. And so we want to make a big deal out of Jesus. We know what God's doing. He wants us to be fruitful, multiply after his kind. So how are we going to do that? At least we're going to do that by being focused upon the Savior. So I say to us, spread out. Come on, let's spread out in 2017. Oh, what a year this could be if we will commit together to move forward in faith and what God is desiring to do and what he's always desired to do. Here's the second way that the people called Center Point. If some of you are here, maybe this is your first or second time to kind of visit with us, to hang out with us. We want you to come and inhabit with us, by the way. Then we're going to do that, not just by being focused upon the Savior, Savior focused, but we're also going to do that by being really fashioned by his Spirit. Now, we are a people that we believe that anything is possible, that with God all things are possible. And therefore, what does that mean? That means if you or somebody that you know is sick and in the hospital, we're not going to come to the hospital room and just pray, oh God, help them to cope. Help them to make it through. We're going to say, God, heal them. Raise them up right now. You know, some of us have been going to see Kyle Hamilton multiple times through the week. I'm so grateful for Michael. He has been very faithful. And Andy Oath, very faithful. He's Andy, by the way, and his family that are normally here are suffering for Jesus at Disney World. And I do mean suffering for Jesus. But they've been so faithful to go to that fifth floor medical intensive care unit. And how wonderful it is to go in there, and when Kyle is laying there pretty much in a state of coma, pretty much in a comatose state, he moves a little bit, and the 22-year-old young man who almost killed himself with heroin about 4 weeks ago, he's had a lifetime of just struggles with heroin, with drug addiction, things like this. And many people, including his sister and his mother, Whitney is Schneider is of course comes here, and they're members here. And his mother Sue Hamilton. They've put their father, who passed away a few years ago, a good friend of mine, they were putting good things in Kyle. And you know what do I mean by that? I mean that they were continually knocking at his heart's door, trying to encourage Kyle to trust Christ and to let Jesus change his life. And, you know, don't get into all the other stuff and where he's at now, but suffice to say, he is pretty much comatose. It has been for weeks now. Well, we don't go in there and just say, oh, just help the family cope and to get along. No, we're saying, God, wake him up. Wake him up. People, that's what the Spirit of God does in us. The Spirit of God cries out and says those things. It says that what has happened in heaven, the order that is fixed in heaven, can really come down on earth. Is that not how Jesus taught us how to pray? He said, pray that thy kingdom will come and thy will be done on earth as it has already. It's the verb there is the one, has already happened. It has already come and already been done. The kingdom has already come, you understand. When you come to a place where you say yes to Jesus, you are focused upon him, and he comes and he puts his life in you. I mean, how do you think the change is happening anyhow? He has taken up residence in you, and he teaches you through his word and through building relationship with other people who believe the same way. And he's saying, you know, there's a better day for you. You don't have to put up with this stuff that the rest of the world puts up with, because the kingdom has come already, and his will has already been done. Jesus taught us how to pray that way. When the disciples said in Luke 11, they said, teach us how to pray. He said, pray like this. Pray that thy kingdom come, that which is fixed in heaven, will come right here on earth. What does that mean? Thy will be done on earth as it has already been done in heaven. What does that mean? That means when the diagnosis comes that is just horrible, you can say, it's not that you can say, well, I don't believe that. That's not that. It's just saying, God, do something. Only you can do something, and I believe it. I believe you can do something. Raise that young man up. Save him if that's the problem. So raise him up. Raise him up. Does that mean every time you pray that when someone's in a comatose state that they are raised up on this earthly plane? No, it doesn't mean that at all. But it does mean that we can pray that way. And you know what Jesus also said? You know what the Bible also says? It also says this. Sometimes you just don't have it because you don't ask for it. So why don't you just ask? Say, well, that just sounds crazy. Well, crazy than I am. You know, as I say, someone said, you're a nut. Well, I said, praise God, I'm screwed onto the right bolt. Yeah. You know? So we want to be people who are fashioned by the Spirit. Things are different. So when we have ministry time at the end of our meeting and we pray for people for different things, if it's a job, if it's finances, if it's health, if it's whatever it is, whatever that's beyond you, God's got this. Did we not just spend December talking about that? He's got this. You think this thing is too great for God? How great you are, how small I am. We sang that. Why don't we get ready to sing that again? Yeah, but he's a great God. So we want to be people who are focused on the Savior, but we want to be fashioned. Fashioned by his Spirit. Why else did Paul say, don't be drunk with wine wherein is excess? Be filled continually with the Holy Spirit. Later on in Galatians, and he talks about us being walking in the Spirit. He talks us about, he teaches us in Galatians 5 about being led by the Spirit. We want to be people who are fashioned by the Spirit. You know, we just finished all of the Jesus story. I've got to hurry. All of the Jesus story and, you know, that whole deal. When you read the whole, I mean, if you peel away all of the stuff that you've believed and you just take the Word of God and read it, you see some amazing things. You remember the time whenever Mary shows up at her aunt's house? Both women are pregnant, unbeknownst to the other. And what happened? Yeah, the baby inside Elizabeth leaped. Now, right, yeah, ouch. Yeah. Leaped, you know, and then the scripture says this, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. You believe that? That's pretty good stuff, I think. I don't don't know what all that meant at that particular time. I got a list of 1,401 questions I'm going to ask the Lord. That's one of them. I want to know something. When a baby leaped in the field, what is that? What did that really mean there? And I'm sure that the Lord will say, it meant that she was filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what it said, didn't it? I mean, what's the deal here? How hard is that to understand, dude? I don't know that he'll call me dude, but he might. And then later on in chapter 3 of Luke's gospel, it says that Jesus, at his baptism, John, okay, they had a connection pretty early on, did they not? John was the one that leaped and everything. So they had this connection, so he's getting ready to baptize him. And what does it say? What happened? That's a dove. Okay. Yeah, thank God it wasn't dove season. Yeah. So the dove says that the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus like a dove. You know, not like a condor and seized him and everything like that. No. Okay. Upon Jesus, pretty big deal, this Holy Spirit stuff. And then later on in chapter 11, what I quoted from the front part of, I quoted or talked about a little while ago about the disciples coming to Jesus and saying, teach us how to pray. I said, after, you know, pray like this, you know, come thy kingdom, be done thy will, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. If you work on down through chapter 11, you'll find that he talks then about, he says, so pray, if fathers know how to give good gifts to their kids, how much greater will your heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit if you'll just but ask? You know, maybe the reason why some of you are just kind of, you're just feeling anemic and powerless all the time, maybe God's never really, maybe you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit. And we'll get later, but I do believe the Scripture teaches that there is a subsequent experience of the Holy Spirit. It's very clear in Scripture to me. Yes, you come to Christ by being baptized in the Holy Spirit. The only way we get connected with God through with Jesus is by an act of the Holy Spirit. We no one comes to the Father unless the Spirit draws him. I mean, there are lots of scriptures. So yes, that's how we gain entrance into the family of God. But there's so much more. So much more. We want to be people who are focused on the Savior and those who are fashioned by the Spirit. Spread out. Let's spread out in 2017. How are we going to fill these empty chairs? By being people who are fashioned by the Spirit. You know, there are a lot of people today, thousands probably in this city, that are attending services where it's, you know, stand up, sit down, fight, fight, fight. Man, aren't you glad you're in a church where we really do like each other? We don't fight. We don't do any of that goofy stuff. Voting and all that jazz. Where the heck is that in the Scripture? Only time they ever did that, it got them into trouble. You don't believe that, do you? Most of you came from places like that. That's why you're here. And then we want to be people who are scripturally founded. How on earth are we going to do this? We're going to be scripturally founded. We're going to stay true to God's word. I love what Paul wrote to young Timothy in chapter 2, verse 15. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. That's why I impress upon our guys as they speak, and we have such wonderful pastors here that are wonderful preachers. And you're going to be hearing from them more in 2017. That's why I tell them, don't show up with a little note card that has a few little notes on it. I want the people to see the Word of God. I want them to know that they're hearing messages from this precious book that is living and it's active and it's able to bring change in our lives. Every day. That's right, Steve. So we want to be those who are scripturally founded. That's why in February, the women, they're going to be starting, I think I want to say it's like Saturday, February the 4th or something like that, somewhere around 9 o'clock, the first Saturday of every month during 2017, the women of Centerpoint will be gathered here and their friends. It's a great time to bring guests to that. And you're going to be studying about the attributes of God. What an exciting study that's coming down the pike. I think you're trading jewelry or something next week. I'm not sure about that, all that stuff. But anyway, I don't get off on that jewelry stuff. But anyway, it's all good for women. Okay, I got it. I got it. And then the men, we're going to be studying about what real true spirituality looks like. And we'll be starting that series from Romans 12. We're doing a Bible study in Romans 12 beginning Tuesday, February the 7th at 7 o'clock p.m. And you'll be hearing more about that. Our pastor's class that I teach, we'll be looking at 1 and 2 Thessalonians, and we'll be starting that in a couple of Sundays on Sunday, January the 15th, 8:15 in the pastor's classroom. And so, you know, how are we going to fill the empty chairs? By being Savior-focused, by being spiritually fashioned, and by being scripturally founded. We're going to, if it's not in this book, then it's not happening here. It's just not happening here, okay? And so I just want to conclude by, why don't you play something on the piano? That gets everybody excited. So John, yeah, I want to go back to that, you know, the one, yeah, you know the song. Yeah, okay. So John the Revelator saw this amazing worship. You close your Bibles and all that stuff. He saw this amazing, and by the way, get your cards handy. Saw this amazing worship service, chapter 7, and it begins in verse 9. After these things, I looked, and behold, a great multitude. There's that word again. Swarms of people. A great multitude which no one could count from every, you know, can you imagine them coming to John the Revelator? Hey, how many did you run? Church. No, lost count. There's not a number big enough. Which no one could count from every nation, all tribes, peoples, tongues, standing before the throne. Are you seeing this? Before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, palm branches were in their hands. They cried out with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. It goes on to talk about this experience. One of the elders raises his hand and he asks a couple of questions. It's really pretty funny. He said, who are these people? That's what it says. Doesn't yours say that in verse 13? Who are all these people? The elders looking around this great multitude. Who are all these people? And where on earth did they come from? Precisely. I'll tell you where they came from. They came from your home. They were your kids. They were your parents. They were your siblings. They were the people you worked with. They were the people that you hung out with. They were your next door neighbors. They were the students that you teach in school. That's where these people come from. It's going to be an amazing year, I think. Come back next Sunday, there'll be a few more people here. It's going to be an amazing year as we commit ourselves to moving forward in faith. Can't do it apart from faith. It's impossible to do it without faith. To just believe God that He's going to fill these chairs. Why? So that we can say how many we ran on Sunday? No, we're bringing them in to teach them and train them, to break them out so that they can be on mission at work and in their families and at home and wherever they find themselves. We planted one church 4 months ago. How many more churches will God plant out of this group right here? How many more? Who's in that multitude that John saw? Some of the people that you've shared your life with already. And some that you will share your life with. So I'm going to ask you right now. I've got a name here on mine. And I'm not going to ask you to turn this in. I'm going to ask you to keep this in your Bible. That's where I'm going to keep mine. It's going to be in my Bible. It'll be a part of my journal that I do every day. And I'm going to pray for this person every single day. And I'm going to do everything I can to share Jesus, to be focused on Jesus with this person, to be fashioned by the Spirit with this person, and to be very founded in God's scriptures for this person. So I want to ask you, would you write somebody on there right now? Write somebody's name. I'm not going to ask you to bring it in. So you, it'll be between you and, you know, don't let the people around you see it, okay? Just, you know, put a name on that. Put a name on that. Come on. You're sitting there like this. What does that mean? Are you mad? So my wife says, are you mad? Put a name on that. Put a name on that. You need a pen? Get it. Somebody's got a pen. Now, Lord, I'm going to ask that you'll use me this year to reach this person for Christ. This year. Not 2018, not 2019, not someday. This year. I'm asking for it, God. You're not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. And so, God, I can pray with great, great conviction. I can pray with faith. That's the assurance of things hoped for. That's the conviction, the substance of things not seen. This person has not come to Christ yet. So, God, I'm praying for this person today. January the 1st, 2017. And tomorrow, when I awake, Lord God, should you give me another day to live on planet Earth? I'm praying again. I'm knocking again. I'm seeking again. I'm asking again. Is that not what you taught us to do, Lord? And we are empowered, Lord, by the one who indwells us. How great you are. How small we are, but how great you are. And so, God, I'm asking, do it. This person's life this year. This year, Lord God, and use me. Use me, Lord God. Don't let me get in the way. Use me, God, in this person's life to tell them what you have done for me. In Jesus' name. Spread out, folks.
I will hold. chorus. Sing the chorus one more time.
Great you are, how small I am, how awesome is your mighty hand. I am captured by the wonder of it all.
How great you are,
how great you are,
how great you are. Tag it, Ken. How great you are,
how great you are.
In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys. Hug somebody's neck. I went late. Get out of here. Go get your kids. If you're a guest, come back. I'll try to do a better job next week. So, God bless you. Happy New Year, by the way.